Hi everyone, it's Quentin from 22 Point with another podcast for you. Last week we looked at the difference between phones and tablets. For this week we're looking at doing a factory reset of your phone or unboxing a new phone. I'm using a 2012 model Samsung Galaxy Nexus. Because it's got that Nexus branding, it's actually been kept fairly up to date. It's running Android 4.3, which is not too bad for a 3 or 4 year old phone. The other reason I chose the Nexus is because it's got the stock, standard, vanilla, whatever you want to call it, Android interface on it. It's basically the starting point for all the other phones. So when Samsung take their phones, even though this was made by Samsung, it's not got their TouchWiz interface, for instance, but when Samsung take their phone and set it up for you, or LG or Motorola or whoever, what they start off with is something like this, and then they add their own touches and tweaks to it, which both make it work on their particular hardware and also to whatever their vision of an Android phone is or should be. So they all work similarly but slightly different, so I thought taking this one at least is the baseline sort of interface anyway, so let's have a go. Okay, turning the phone on for the very first time. So I'll press the power button. We've got the Google logo and it's gone blank, and now we've got the startup animation, which on the Nexus, on this Nexus at least, is an X in the four colors of the Google logo: blue, red, yellow, and green, which each sort of pulse and shine a bit, and that sits around for as long as it takes. There's no indication with any of these startup animations as to how long anything's going to take. It's not like a progress bar. It is a set sequence that just keeps going until the phone's ready to use or the device is ready to use. I've cut a little bit out here, but this actually took a couple of minutes. It usually does for the first time. Afterwards, it won't take so long when you reboot the phone. Okay, so the phone's turned on and we've got to a welcome screen. This is where I can hold down two fingers and get it to start speaking. So let me do that now.
Continue touching the screen until you hear a beep to enable accessibility mode. Accessibility setup wizard. Accessibility tutorial.
Okay, so when you first turn on the phone, if you hold down two fingers on the screen for a few seconds, like I did just then, it will start talking to you and enable accessibility mode. Now, the first thing that it does is it brings us into the Explore by Touch tutorial. Now, if I just touch the screen.
Clock. Good. Keep sliding your finger around the screen until you find at least one more icon. Clock. Gallery. You can also explore by swiping your finger left and right anywhere on the screen. Try quickly swiping from left to right to move to the next icon.
Okay. Now, the tricky thing with that swipe is that it does have to be fairly quick. So I'll demonstrate.
Google Settings. Gallery. To activate something that you've explored, tap the screen twice. Explore until you find the browser icon. Then double tap anywhere on the screen to activate it.
Okay, so if I try that swipe again a bit slower.
Google Settings.
That didn't actually swipe. What it did was it moved the focus to where my finger was, which is not what we wanted. So,
email.
There we go. Swipe.
Clock.
Swipe.
People.
Swipe.
Calendar.
And as she said, I can tap on what I want.
Browser.
Which I think is what she wanted.
You found the browser icon. Double tap anywhere on the screen to activate the icon. Gallery. Browser. To move to the next lesson, find the next button. Located near the bottom right corner of the screen. Then double tap to activate it.
Okay, again, what I did there when I when I moved the focus down to gallery was I double tapped, but not quite quickly enough, or there wasn't enough of a there was too much of a gap between the first and the second tap. So instead of going like that, I went, and it was just a little too slow. So let's come down and find that next button.
Gallop maps, next button.
So I could have swiped. Thank you. So I could have swiped all the way through that, knowing that next is in the bottom right-hand corner. I've actually just gone all the way down straight to that. And we'll double tap.
To scroll through a list, you can slide two fingers along the screen. For example, the current screen contains a list of app names that can scroll up or down. First, try to explore the screen and identify an app. Browser. Calculator. Now place two fingers on an item in the list and slide both fingers up. If you reach the top of the screen, lift your fingers. Place them lower on the list. And continue sliding up. Email. Explore the screen to find one more app.
Okay, so just before I do that, you heard that do-do-do-do sound, which is its audio cue as it moves through a list. The higher that sound gets, the closer to the end of the list you are. We're near the top, about halfway through. It's not a big list because this phone has just been reset, so there's only a handful of default apps on there. If I do that again, see if she'll let me.
Hangouts. Play movies and TV local. Showing items 25 to 32 of 32. Movie studio.
Hang on, I got in the way of her. Let's just...
Previous browser. When explore by touch is turned on. Next button. Local. To scroll through a list. You can slide two fingers along the screen. For example, the current screen contains a list of app names that can scroll up or down. First, try to explore the screen and identify an app. Navigation. Now place two fingers on an item in the list and slide both fingers up. If you reach the top of the screen, lift your fingers. Place them lower on the list. And continue sliding up. Google Plus. Google, explore the screen to find one more app.
Okay, so I actually slid down that time. Let's have a look for one more app.
Currents. You can also scroll an entire page by swiping your finger to scroll to the next page. Swipe right then left using a single motion. Try to scroll to the next page by swiping right then left.
Okay, let's give that a go.
Local. Showing items 25 to 32 of 32. Explore the screen again to find an app in the current page. Voice search. Swiping the opposite direction. Left then right in a single motion. We'll move to the previous page. Try to scroll to the previous page by swiping left then right.
Let's do that.
Local. Showing items 18 to 25 of 32. To move to the next lesson. Find and activate the next button. Located near the bottom right corner of the screen. Local. Next. By default, swiping left or right reads blocks of text all at once. You can also read through blocks of on-screen text by word or character. First, find the text that begins with the word this. Lesson 3. Reading by character. This is an example of a large block of text. You can move through this text at a specific reading level using swipe gestures. Or read it all at once using touch gestures. This is the second paragraph. This is the third and final paragraph. Swipe down then up to change the reading level. Then swipe right to move through this text. Next, you can start reading this block at a specific level by swiping down then up in a single motion. Try swiping down then up to change the reading level. Then swipe right to read through the text. Read by character. H. I. S. Space. I. To move out of the current block of text, you will need to return to the default reading level. Swipe in the opposite direction. Up then down. To return to the default reading level, then find the finish button at the bottom right and double tap to activate it and exit the tutorial. Read by word.
I thought I'd have a look through some of the other options here. Read by word.
Is an example of...
And so I'm swiping to the right now and getting it to read one word at a time.
Large. read by paragraph. You can move through this text at a specific reading level using swipe gestures, or read it all at once using touch gestures.
So she stopped there now, and if I swipe to the right.
This is the second paragraph.
And now she stopped again.
This is the third and final paragraph. Swipe down then up to change the reading level. Then swipe right to move through this text. Default reading level.
And so it's taking us back to the default.
Previous button. Finish button. Setup wizard. Portrait.
Okay, so having gone through that Explore by Touch tutorial, we're back to the welcome screen. And if we
welcome,
swipe through that.
English United Kingdom button. Edit box. English United States.
Okay, it gives us our language options. And interestingly, she doesn't want to read it for me, but if I...
Edit box. English United Kingdom.
There we go. I've come to English United Kingdom, which is what I was aiming for, so that's good. Let's...
English United States start button.
Visually, what that is it's that kind of roller that you get in a few different places. So it looks like a roller. The one on the front now, which is the currently selected one, is English United Kingdom. Just above that is Deutsch. And just below that is English United States. So that's why it reads those three out, or it reads two of them, because I'd already moved the focus back to English United Kingdom. And back to our start button. Obviously, if you have difficulty finding your way around that, which I wouldn't be surprised because it didn't read a lot of it and it didn't really explain what it was, it will default to English at least, which is going to suit at least the majority of people. Often what you find is that phones designed for a particular market will default to that language. I had another phone that I bought online, which was originally designed for Belgium, I think, or France, and it came set up in French. So at least if you have difficulty with that, it should hopefully default to your native language, at least if you've bought it locally. So start button, and I can double tap on that
to move. Insert SIM card.
So I don't actually have a SIM card in this phone. It's not my main phone, and it's warning me that I don't have a SIM card in here.
Insert SIM card. Turn off your phone. Remove the battery and carefully insert your SIM card with the gold contact side down. The cutoff corner should end up furthest away from the battery. If you prefer to skip this now, make sure that you insert your SIM card later. Until you do, most of your phone's features won't work.
In actual fact, the phone will work fine as a... Portrait. Sorry, I just accidentally turned it around. The phone will work fine for accessing the internet, reading emails. It basically works much like a tablet at this stage. But what it won't do, obviously, is make phone calls, send text messages. If this was your main phone, then you wouldn't get that message because you'd hopefully already have the SIM card in it. If this was a tablet, you wouldn't get that message. Unless it was a 3G tablet, it might warn you then. Obviously, if you're in the process of unboxing a new phone, then yes, one of the things that you do need to do in that process is put your SIM card in. And so if you hadn't done that by this point, it would have warned you.
Skip button. Select Wi-Fi. Showing item 1 of 1.
Okay, so it asks us for our Wi-Fi network now.
Big Pondo 37C1F. Secured with Big Pondo 37C1F. More options.
That actually isn't my network anyway, so I'm going to go through and do mine, and it's going to have to...
Other network.
If your Wi-Fi network hopefully is in this list, depending on the security that you've got, and you can double tap on that, and then it will ask you for the password. It then gives you the keyboard to do that, which we'll come to in a sec. Mine isn't, because of the way I've got my security set up, so I have to go to other network.
Other network. Alert at network.
And I've got to type it in by hand.
SSI. Security. None. Show advanced options. cancel.
And it's just reading through that box. But enter the SSID, which is the name of your network. Okay, so this is a good chance to show you the keyboard. Let's have a look. So the keyboard takes up about the bottom third of the screen, and it's set out in the QWERTY style, so the same as a desktop keyboard if you've used one of those before. So let me just come down.
Q.
There we go. So Q's in the top left hand corner.
W E R T Y U I O P.
Yep.
L.
I've gone under P to L. And if I go down again.
Delete.
It's delete. It's actually backspace really, but.
Next.
Next.
Space. Full stop.
Full stop.
Space.
Space takes up most of the bottom row there.
Voice input.
Voice input. Probably not so effective for something like an SSID or an email address where you're going to have non-standard words. Voice dictate works really well if it's using just regular words like the body of an email message, for instance, or an SMS.
Symbols.
Symbols.
Shift.
Shift, yep. So let's enter the name of mine now.
R-D.
As you drag your finger around the keyboard, it announces the letter. When you get to the one you want, simply let go. So we're on T.
T.
There we go.
R-E-E.
E.
S. S. T. T. Test. F. F. R. R. E.
That's cheating a little.
U. E. N. Y. Frequency.
Okay, my network's called Test Frequency 5G. So let's just find, to get to that 5, we need the symbols.
Symbols.
There we go. And
1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 0.
So that row of numbers is where the QWER blah, blah, blah line was.
Not hash, pound step, percent, ampersand, asterisk, dash, left parenthesis, right parenthesis, delete. Question, slash, semicolon, apostrophe, quote, exclamation, shift, letters, comma, space, full, next.
Okay, so a couple to note there.
Shift.
That shift will actually take us to a third screen with yet more symbols on it. And also, the layout of this will vary slightly from region to region, or actually depending on which language you set. Because I chose English UK earlier as my language, we have got
pound sterling.
That pound sterling symbol. If I'd chosen English US, we would have had a traditional dollar sign. So let's come up.
4, 5, 5.
And come back to
letters.
Letters, there we go.
G.
There we go. Okay.
Security.
So security.
Drop down list.
It's a drop-down list. Hopefully your security of your Wi-Fi network isn't none. None is not a good security to use,
alert
obviously.
Network has set.
Okay.
Drop-down list showing 4 items.
So I've double-tapped on that, and it's brought up a list of 4 items. I can just swipe.
None
is the first one, and the selected one. So it tells us, ticked, it's selected.
WEP. WPA slash WPA 2 PSK, not ticked.
That's the security that my network has. That's probably the most standard for home networks at the moment. So let's choose that one.
Alert at network.
And network. Note that I'm not so much choosing that. That's how my network is set up. If
security.
I wanted to change that,
WPA
I'd need to change it on my router, on my network.
Cancel.
So
save at network. Secure drop-down, password, edit box, password.
So we've got an edit box to enter our password.
Dot.
So note with the password that it's only reading out dot, dot, dot. If you want to hear what it's actually reading out, then you need to plug headphones in, then you'll hear the actual letters in the headphones.
Dot. Deleted. Symbols. Dot. 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 Save button. Keyboard hidden. Select Wi-Fi. Test frequency 5 grams. Authenticating. The phone is connecting to Wi-Fi. Setup wizard. Got Google.
Okay, so it's connected to Wi-Fi. Now it wants to know if we've got a Google account.
Do you have a Google account? If you use Gmail or Google Apps, answer yes.
Yep, so it suggests Gmail and Google Apps there. They're the main ones, obviously. The apps, in order to download anything from Google Play, you need to have a Google account signed in. And if you want to use Gmail on your phone, then, you need that as well. So let's set that up.
Yes, but type email and password. Okay. Show Q U. I'm
going to cheat again.
N T I N full X.
Oops, made a mistake, so I'll
X delete
backspace, there we go.
C-A-R-I-F-T-E-N-F-E-N.
Because it recognizes that we're in an email edit field, it's actually changed the keyboard slightly. If I come down to that shift.
Shift, symbols, at.
It's put the at symbol there,
at.
Which is quite handy.
Sign in, edit box, showing text keyboard.
Okay, we're in the password field now.
Dot, 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 dot. Back button, next button.
Next button.
Alert by signing in. You are agreeing to the Google Terms of Service, Privacy Policy, and Google Play Terms of Service. By cancel button, OK button.
Okay, so we agree. The Terms of Service Privacy Policy and Google Play Terms of Service are all hyperlinks there that I could tap on if I wanted to, but I'm not going to at the moment. I'm just going to go straight to that OK button.
Signing in, error. To access your account, you must sign in on the web. Touch next to start browser sign in.
Now, I'm using two-factor authentication. If I wasn't, it would have just signed in there. Because I'm using two-factor authentication, what that means is anytime I try and sign on a device that it's not familiar with, I can put in my password, and even though I get it right, it actually will then send me a text message to my phone to confirm that I've got access to this account, so that even if somebody else finds out my email address and my password, they won't be able to get into my account without actually access to my phone as well to receive a text message. One frustrating thing if you are setting up your main phone with your SIM card in it is that at this point it won't actually let you receive a text message with that code in it. So the best workaround I've found there is to be sitting at a PC, have your browser open with signed into Google, that you can then generate a one-off password for your phone. That works fairly well. It just means you've got to type in a 16-character code, but at least they are all just letters. But that is about the easiest workaround, unless you have a backup phone specified in your two-factor authentication. For instance, I've got my phone as the main one, obviously, but I can also use my wife's phone as a backup, so I could also have it send the code to her phone.
Next button, account setup.
Okay, so it takes us to a web page.
Sign in. Which is Google accounts.
Slowly loading.
Sign in. Google accounts. Enter code. Edit text. Number entry.
There we go. I've got a text message on my other phone. And it says, sorry, I didn't have the speech on my other phone, but the text message says your Google verification code. Sorry. Your Google verification code is 905068. There we go. So it's a 6-digit number that I need to type in.
Verify button.
So
enter code, edit text, number entry, showing phone keyboard.
Okay, so again, it knows what kind of edit field we're in, and it's given us just a number keyboard this time.
Okay. Enter code, edit 9905068.
There we go, so I can just type in those numbers.
Keyboard hidden, enter code 900, sign in. Google clicked.
Oops, hang on.
Verify button. Oops, the verify. Don't ask for codes again on this computer. Checkbox not checked. Clicked. Signing in.
There we go.
This can take a few minutes. Setup wizard. Google services. Backup. Tick box. Use your Google account to back up your apps. Settings such as bookmarks and Wi-Fi passwords and other data. New updates available. Tick box. Tick. Bring apps, settings and other data to this phone that you previously backed up to your Google account. Tick box. Location. Let apps estimate your location with Google's location service. Anonymous location data will be collected and sent to Google, and may be stored on your device. This could occur even when no apps are running. Tick box. Tipped. Get more relevant information when using Google Apps. GPS and Google's location service may be accessed, even when you're not using Google Apps. Back button. Next button.
Okay, so there's a few options there that it goes through on that screen, all of which are checkboxes, all of which are checked by default. So if you want to, let's just
get more relevant
okay, so if we want to uncheck that, tick box. Come back to the tick box.
Not ticked.
Ticked. There we go. You just double tap to check or uncheck that.
Back button. Next button.
Okay, so that ding that you heard was actually, it's moved down and shown us some things that were off screen before. The focus though is still on the next button. So if you double press now, you'll actually skip past without seeing what the rest of those are. So if I swipe back.
Communication. Tick box. Keep me up to date with news and offers from Google Play.
So there you go. It's just a checkbox offering to keep you up to date with news and offers from Google Play, which I'm not sure that they've ever actually sent me anything, but there you go. So if we swipe forward, left to right.
Back. Next button.
There we go. Back to the next button.
Account sync. Back up and restore. Use your Google account to back up your apps. Settings such as bookmarks and Wi-Fi passwords and other data. If you've previously backed up your account, you can restore it to this phone now. You can change your backup settings at any time in settings.
I meant to add, actually, I'm not sure why it skipped back to the other voice. I actually had an issue before with recording this and it didn't record the last part of this. So I've gone back and I actually reformatted the phone, did all the same settings. I set it to English UK. And for some reason, it's actually been jumping between the US and the UK voice. So never mind, we'll just roll with it and keep going through this screen. So,
back up and restore. Use your Google account to back up your apps. Settings such as bookmarks and Wi-Fi passwords and other data. If you've previously backed up your account, you can restore it to this phone now. You can change your backup settings at any time in settings. Bring apps, settings and other data to this phone that you previously backed up to your Google account. Tick box. Ticked. Use your Google account to back up your apps. Settings such as bookmarks and Wi-Fi passwords and other data. Tick box. Ticked.
So that's basically offering to bring in all of the apps that I used to have installed on this phone and install them again for us automatically. And then keep it backed up so that as I add and remove apps, it will keep that list backed up so that if I were to do this again, it would automatically reinstall all the apps again. In actual fact, I've found that process sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. I reset my other phone, the main one that does have the SIM card in it, recently, and it automatically started installing all the apps that I had on this phone. So which was a different set of apps. So I'm not sure that it's 100% reliable, even if there is a theory and a set way on how it goes about deciding all of that. Obviously, if I couldn't figure it out, then it's likely many others would have the same trouble. So what I tend to do is keep a list of the apps that I've got to just reinstall as I go. And that, aside from anything else, has helped me cut down on the number of apps that I have on my phone from 800 that I had once.
Next button.
Okay, here we go. Next button.
Restoring. Your phone is contact.
Using Google text-to-speech engine. Setup wizard. Showing text keyboard.
Okay, there we go. We've jumped back to the UK voice. But anyway, it did say your phone is contacting Google to restore your account. Now, I know that in this setup process, I've had to prompt it to say a few of those things. It's had them on screen. It does depend on the phone and the version of Android that you're installing. So some others will be better at this. Some will be worse. Obviously, you wouldn't want it too much worse if you're trying to do this without sight. But it is an indication of how far things have come, because this is actually, as I said, running Android 4.3, which is quite a recent version of Android. But even so, on newer versions, it is better again. So it's one of those things, when you're getting a phone, do try and get the latest version of Android that you can, because they are constantly improving things. Obviously, the Nexus line are good because you get that support for longer and quicker updates when they come out. Let's keep going.
1913.
Okay.
This phone belongs to... The phone uses your name to personalize some apps. Edit box first.
All right, let's put our name in.
Capital Q.
And I'll just cheat quickly here. Actually, you can hear there, it capitalized Quentin. It realized it was a name. It often does that. It will capitalize the first letter of a sentence, which is handy, saves you doing it. And for fields like this,
edit box, last,
where obviously you're going to want a capital for your name.
Capital C. H-R-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N.
Okay.
Back button. Next button. Keyboard hidden. Setup complete. Setup complete. Your phone is set up and ready to use.
Excellent.
Finish button. Device unlocked. Home.
Okay, so now what it's done is it's brought us to the home screen. Visually, it's put a circle around the All Apps button, which is something that you commonly get on the home screen of most phones, but it's saying make yourself at home. You can put your favorite apps here up on the main part of the home screen, and to see all of your apps, touch the circle.
Make yourself at home. You can put your favorite apps here to see all your apps. Touch the circle.
There we go, and the circle's highlighted there.
OK button.
And we'll just OK that. There we go. Now we have a fairly standard-looking home screen. Most phones, for all of their differences, most phones do look fairly similar out of the box. So on this one, it has kind of three parts to the home screen. We've got up the top a notification bar.
New updates available. Image. Wi-Fi 2 bars. 3G null. Battery 65%. Image. 1915.
There we go. It gives us a quick snapshot of information from the time, the battery, the Wi-Fi app. And it was saying that some of our apps have updates available. When you get your phone out of the box or do a factory reset like I've done here, it installs, or it already has installed, the version of apps that came with this image on the phone. Often they've been updated since then, and there'll be newer versions of those on the Play Store ready to download with hopefully newer features, bugs fixed, things like that. Basically, the same as any app. Whenever you download an app from the Play Store, hopefully it's still being supported and the developer will add new features, fix bugs that it finds, and release new versions that you can then download. By default, Android's set to let you know about those. So you can download them. Actually, it will often download them for you automatically, depending on your settings. So let's just have a look and see what else we've got.
19.7. Slide area.
Okay, actually, since I let it go to sleep, we've got the lock screen here. Now, you can customize this in several different ways. You can also make it more secure. The default security is a simple slide lock. Basically, you put your finger down in the bottom half of the screen.
Slide area. Slide right. Device unlocked. Home.
And slide right to unlock. Let me just do that again for you.
Screen. 1917. Slide area. Slide right for unlock. Unlock. Device unlocked. Home.
So you touch anywhere in that bottom half of the screen and it will say slide area, slide right to unlock, which I did, and it's unlocked and taken us back to our home screen. On the home screen here, if I have a look around, I'll do that left to right swipe. So you'll find that's a fairly common gesture that you'll use.
Home screen 3, analog clock.
We've got an analog clock there. Now that is a widget. So on your home screen, one of the things you can have is widgets, which are live pieces of information. So this one's a clock.
1918.
And as I drag my finger over it or touch it, it says the time, 7:18, and it updates itself regularly, so that's current. If you had a widget for the weather, for instance, it would say that it's 10 degrees or whatever it is outside and raining or sunny or whatever the weather's doing. If you had a widget for news, it would give you breaking news headlines. A Facebook widget will tell you about new messages. Other sorts of widgets will give you other sorts of live information that updates at regular intervals. So it's really handy because it gives you that information there on the desktop, but at the same time you don't want to have too many because they do update to in order to display that information. So it does use a little bit of the battery, but obviously having some is quite useful.
1990, side area, unlock, home.
There we go.
1990, camera.
Camera is just an icon. That will launch an app. In this case, the camera, any app that you've got an icon for on the home screen, when that has focus, you can double tap anywhere on the home screen or anywhere on the screen itself, and it will launch that.
Folder, Google.
And we've got a folder which, as you can probably guess, if I double tap to launch that.
Folder open, 4x3.
Okay, it's giving me a little bit of information here. Organize your apps with folders. To make a new folder on your home screen, stack one app on top of another. So we've got our list of Google apps in the folder here.
Maps, Gmail, Google Plus, Play Store, Play Music.
There we go.
Play Store, Google Plus, Gmail, folder closed.
And there we go, I can just close that. Also on the home screen, we've got the dock down the bottom, which...
Search, voice search.
Oh, actually, it's going to take us up to the voice search first. So there's a Google search widget up the top there.
Phone.
There we go. Down in the dock, we've got phone.
People.
People is our address book, basically. It's our list of contacts that we know. So from in there, you can go and you can find contacts, and you can either ring them or message them or email them or do whatever you want to do.
Apps.
Apps. That gives us our full list of apps, so that you can have the apps that you commonly use on the desktop and get access to them that way. Apps that you don't use as frequently will still be there in that all apps list. Obviously, apps that you don't use at all, you should uninstall so that they're not just taking up room on your phone or your tablet.
Messaging.
Messaging is SMS.
Browser.
And browser. Now, it's actually a good idea in some ways not to use the standard browser. There have been a couple of security issues identified in various times with Android and every system pretty much, but because the default browser is usually only updated when you get a system update on your phone or your tablet, you don't get as many updates as you would say for Chrome or Firefox, which are two of the more common browsers. Before Android 5, at least, Firefox was much more accessible than any of the default browsers, any of the inbuilt browsers anyway. And Android 5 was supposed to bring in more accessibility to that default web interface.
1920, slide area, unlock, home.
And finally, down the bottom of the screen, because this is a Nexus, it's got soft navigation buttons down the bottom.
Back.
As I drag my finger, you can... I can't feel them, but it announces back,
home, recent apps,
and recent apps. Different phones work differently for that. Some have hardware buttons, some have a combination. The Samsung, for instance, has, most of the Samsungs, for instance, have a hardware home button that you can physically feel and software buttons either side of that. TalkBack has gestures that you can use to emulate those. So I did a back gesture before, up and left in one motion, as if I was drawing the top right-hand corner of a square, for instance. I went up, then directly left, and that's back. There's a whole stack of them that you can get to if you go into settings and accessibility, TalkBack settings. There's a whole group of two-part gestures like that that you can do, and it's worth exploring those and getting the hang of them, because sometimes they can be easier to use than those buttons, particularly if you have got just the software buttons like this. And sometimes you might prefer the button, or sometimes you might prefer the gesture. So yeah, both are good. So obviously, the next thing that you'll want to do now that you've got your phone there and you're getting it set up, or your tablet, is download and install RappyTap from 22 Point, because it's a fun game. I have to throw in the plug, don't I? If you're interested in the unboxing experience and turning it on for the first time, then you can jump through to about 7 minutes 30. If you'd like to hear what it's like to do a factory reset, then stay listening now.
1509. Slide area. Slide right for unlock. Unlock. Slide right for... ZipTunes wireless free.
Okay, so let's go into the settings first of all. So this is one that's already got Android running. And what I'm going to do is factory reset it, which basically means it's going to wipe all of the data that I've put on there, which will then get us to the same point as if we were just unboxing it for the first time. It's a very good idea before you do this to make sure that you have got everything that you need on there backed up, all of your photos, documents, apps, app data, anything like that. Android can be a little bit fiddly with backing up some of the...
Screen off.
Backing up some of the data. One thing I quite like these days are apps which store their data on the cloud. So apps which use Dropbox, for instance, to store notes that I've written, or Google actually automatically saves all of your photos that you take, for instance, and your videos. So that's handy. If you've got a different audio recording app, for instance, if that's got an option to save online, if you like that sort of thing. If you're conscious about the security aspects of that sort of thing, then obviously you can usually separate that and uncheck that. But in any case, make sure that you do have a copy of it backed up before you wipe your phone or your tablet. Okay, so we use two fingers down from the top of the screen.
Notification shade.
To open the notification shade. Depending on your exact device, some of them have a settings icon here, and on some of them, like this one,
USB, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, quick settings button.
There we go. I need to go to the quick settings button. The other way of doing that, if it is in the quick settings, is swiping down with three fingers from the top of the screen. And if you're not using TalkBack, that's one finger or two fingers. So let's.
Settings.
There we go. Settings.
Settings.
Okay, so. Again, depending on your handset, some of them have these grouped into sections, and some handsets or some devices have it all in one big list. The older Nexus phones at least have them, or the 4.3 and earlier, have them in one big list. So let's go down that list.
Location, security, language and input, backup and reset.
Okay, backup and reset is the one that we want. Let's go into there.
Backup and reset.
In some of the others that have it sectioned off, I think it's in device. So.
Backup and reset. More options. Backup and restore. Backup my data. Backup application data. Wi-Fi passwords and other settings to Google servers. Ticked. Tick box.
The way that Android does backups in this section automatically is a little bit of a mystery to most people, but what it does with that application data, Wi-Fi passwords and other settings to Google servers, you can have it back that up.
Backup
so
my data,
that,
backup application data, Wi-Fi passwords and other settings to Google servers, ticked, tick box.
Yep, so that it can automatically restore that on a new phone.
Backup account, quentin.christensen@gmail.com.
That's the account that we're logged into that it's going to back up.
Automatic restore. When reinstalling an app, restore backed up settings and data. Ticked. Tick box.
Now, I've got to say, in my experience, I've found this whole backup thing of Google's a little bit flaky. Maybe it's because I've got too many devices connected to my account, but I found sometimes it will automatically start restoring things when I reset a phone, and other times it just doesn't. So I'm not sure. I wouldn't rely on that just to be sure. So let's go back into it.
1522. Slider. Unlock. Device unlocked. Backup. Automatic restore. When personal data. Factory data reset. Erases all data on phone.
Okay, that's the only option that we've got here. So let's give that a go. And this will wipe everything that's on the phone. So all of my apps, all of the settings, all of the photos, all of the everything will be gone. So do back everything up before you do this.
Factory data reset. This will erase all data from your phones. Internal storage, including your Google account, system and app data and settings, downloaded apps, music, photos, other user data. You are currently signed into the following accounts. Quentin.Christensen@gmail.com. Reset phone button.
Okay, so that's just given us that same warning again, or given us that warning that I just said anyway. So, reset phone, let's do it.
Reset. Reset. Now, erase all your personal information and downloaded apps. You cannot reverse this action.
So,
erase everything button.
Once again, gives us that double check, that warning that we really want to do this. So, I've double tapped that button.
Alert power off, shutting down.
It's giving me the Google logo there. And it's now giving me an icon which is kind of like, it's an Android with its back open and it says erasing. And there's a little blue line moving across. There's no way of getting that to speak. And now it's restarting again. I don't know if you heard that little faint vibrate. And that basically brings us back to the same point where we started this podcast. So we can hold down two fingers to turn on accessibility, then go through, set up our Wi-Fi, log into our Google account, and so on. So I'll leave you there. Have a wonderful week. I'll put some more information up on the website as well, on the blog, and you can get to that from 22point.com.au, or the blog directly is 22point.wordpress.com. And yeah, have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye.